Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Nate Young delivers this week's message.
Well, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. You enjoyed time together with family and some good food. But as has been mentioned already, today is the first day of Advent in the Christian calendar. Advent is this week and then the following 3 weeks. And so today we're going to start out this first message in the series of Advent in Luke chapter 2. And so I want to invite you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 21, which you might already be very familiar with. This is a passage that's often read around Christmas time. But my goal today is hopefully to reveal some things to you from this particular passage that you may have not recognized before. Today, hopefully, we stop to pause during this Advent season to be reminded that Advent simply means coming. Now, Advent is a time that we stop and reflect on the first coming of Jesus Christ as we look forward to his second coming. One of the reasons we pause at this time of year to reflect on the coming of Jesus is the amazing and marvelous can often become familiar and mundane. This truth of this baby being born can be so familiar to us as Christians that the weight of it can actually be lost. And this is actually a tendency that we have as humans, that amazing things happen in and around us, and it's not very long before they become normal and mundane. I'll give you an example. I'm going to date myself a little bit, but that's okay, right? You guys are okay with that? How many of you remember ordering things from a catalog? Do you remember that? You had to actually pick up a phone and call someone to order it. Or even worse, there was a time that you had to fill out a form and put it in the mail to mail it to someone, whatever company it was, that they would then receive your paper order form, and then it would take 2 weeks or more, right? Maybe 2 to 4 weeks for you to get back whatever the thing was that you wanted. And if we think about that in the history of our country, even that is amazing. It hasn't been that long ago that if you wanted something, you had to make it yourself. There was no sending out to anyone for them to send you back a product. But now we have the marvel of Amazon. You can go onto an app. Is everybody familiar with Amazon? You guys have heard of this, right? Okay, I hope I'm not introducing you to something new, but you can go onto an app and you can order anything. Is there anything that Amazon doesn't have? They have everything. And are you like me? Like when I click order, I expect to like get up from my couch and go to the door and it's already outside. Right? Because they deliver in 48 hours or less. And every once in a while, it takes 3 to 4 days to get to my house. And by day three, I'm like, Amazon stinks. They are the worst. They said 48 hours and it took 4 days. This is unbelievable. But see, isn't this the tendency of us as people in general? Amazing things are lost on us. And here's the thing that's really funny too. We've ordered so many things from Amazon, when a package gets delivered, I oftentimes don't even remember what I ordered. There's a name for that, isn't that? What's it called? Primenesia or something like that? It's amazing. But when it doesn't work like it's supposed to, I get frustrated. Friends, this at the same time can become so true of us when we think about the birth of Jesus Christ. It is one of the most amazing events in the history of the world. And if we are not careful, it will become boring and mundane in our hearts and minds. And so today I want to encourage us all together to think about this good news of great joy together. And in doing that, I want to ask you to stand for a reading from the Word of God. In Luke chapter 2, let's start in verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. Seems like a regular day. And yet, listen in verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And here's the good news of great joy, brothers and sisters. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was an angel multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things up in her heart and pondered them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising him for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is a reading from the Word of God. You may be seated. If we were to package this particular passage down into one sentence, here's the way that I would choose to package it for you. Here is the good news of great joy. Here's what it is. Because oftentimes we get so wrapped up in the birth of the baby, we forget what's actually happening here. So here is the good news of great joy. This is it. The forever king is announced by his forever army, and he brings forever peace. It's not just that a baby is being born. But let me say it for you again. The good news of great joy is that the forever king is announced by his forever army, and he brings forever peace. Now let's look at these particular statements broken down in this particular passage. First, the arrival of this forever king is announced by his forever army. We see in verse 8 that he's actually announced to what appears to be the most unlikely of people. These are shepherds out in the field. Now, there's a reason that it's telling us specifically that these are shepherds out in a field. There's a distinction being made here. The shepherds that worked out in the field were even lower class than the shepherds who tended the sheep inside the barn. And it tells us that these particular shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. But isn't this just like God? He chooses the most unlikely people, and he uses them in the most amazing ways. We have story after story like this in the Scripture. From Abraham to Joseph, Moses to Daniel, he uses the most unlikely characters to deliver his message. And I don't know about you, but even this truth in this particular passage brings a type of joy to me because I am not a person of incredible stature and wealth. That means you and I, brothers and sisters, don't have to be incredible people in the society to be used by God to be his messenger and do his work. That brings me a type of joy to know that God could use someone like me and he can use someone like you. This announcement, though, to these unlikely characters is sudden and glorious, and it does bring to them a type of joy. It says the angel of the Lord appeared to them. It happens suddenly and unexpectedly. And I think there's this phrase that we gloss over that encourages us to not see how amazing this scene actually is. It says this angel appeared, and what appears with this angel? The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shows around him. You see, the glory of the Lord is something bright and shining, as we've seen multiple times in the Old Testament. In passages like Ezekiel 1:28, where Ezekiel describes the glory of the Lord like a bright sky with a rainbow after the rain. Or in Exodus 24:17, where it tells us that the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. But we need to get something very straight in this particular passage that's going to be important in just a few verses. It says, not just the glory of the angels, but the glory of the Lord. It's reminding us that the Lord from the Old Testament is still the Lord who's working in the New Testament. That this is Yahweh from the Old Testament that's now doing his work in the New Testament. What we find in these particular shepherds is a very normal response to encountering a heavenly being. It says that they are filled with great fear. But the angel speaks, and he tells them, fear not. He knows that they're afraid, but he speaks to comfort them because the news that he's about to deliver to them is some of the greatest news that's ever been delivered in all of human history. Many of you might be able to quote this particular news right away. Can you quote it with me without even looking at your Bible? Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We've got to pause for a moment to feel the tension of this moment. These men who are out at night doing their job in the dark, these men who know the history of Israel, they know that God has not spoken to his people from the time of the last prophet to this time in the New Testament for almost 400 years. There has been no message that's recorded in Scripture for us from God. And in this moment, the angel of the Lord appears and he speaks. And he speaks a message of good news, of great joy. The message that they have been waiting for, literally for thousands of years, is being delivered to them now. You see, the culmination of the Old Testament is happening right in front of their eyes with the birth of the Savior that they've been waiting for. And this great news, the greatest news of all time, is given to them. That this baby that is born is not just a regular baby, but this baby is the forever king because he is God. You see, there are some specific details in verse 11 that help us understand exactly what's being declared here. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Now, why is he making this distinction that he's born in the city of David? Now, if you had taken the How to Study the Bible class, you would know that one of the things that we attempt to do is understand what covenant they're under during the time that this is being written. And at this point, the people of Israel are still under the Davidic covenant. And if you're familiar with the Davidic covenant, you would know that God had made a promise to David. That promise is that God will establish a king in the lineage of David that will have a kingdom that lasts forever. And now we find a baby born in the city of David. And this baby is described as a savior. This baby is literally born in the lineage of David to obtain salvation for us. He is our Messiah. John continues on in this teaching, John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, verse 4. He quotes Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, and he says, "He is the one who has come to save God's people. He is the Christ, the Messiah that will pay for our sins." But he is not just a regular baby again. He is Christ the Lord. Now, we've already seen Lord in this particular passage. Do you remember where we saw it? The glory of the Lord shone about them. This baby in the lineage of David is Christ the Lord. He is God. Sounds very familiar to John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This baby is the forever king because he is God. But this angel tells these shepherds that there is a sign, but I would suggest there's actually two signs to confirm the identity of this baby. In verse 12, we see the first sign that they're told that this baby will be found in a certain place wearing a certain type of clothing. In verse 12, this baby that is God will be wrapped in swaddling cloths and placed in a manger. This is the sign that they're given when they find Jesus. This is how they'll find him. But let me suggest to you that there's a second sign that's actually being given here in verse 14. Actually, starting in verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying..." This phrase, "multitude of the heavenly host," is often translated "the army of heaven." So this baby that is God, that is born as a king, is now announced by a particular army. This army is the forever army from heaven, the heavenly hosts. Let me just ask you this, though. If this really is the army of heaven, when an army appears on the scene, what does an army normally appear to do? Fight, make war, destroy things. But what does this army announce in verse 14? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This army hasn't arrived to declare war. This army has arrived to declare peace. They announce that God is to be glorified in the most high places and on earth peace with those whom he is pleased. Now, this should immediately beg the question, how does one become a person that God is pleased with? You see, we talked already about what an army typically does when they arrive. Although they typically bring war and destruction, they can also bring peace for those who are part of the kingdom that they fight for. If the army wins the battle, then the kingdom that they're fighting for has peace. But here's the strange thing this time. There is a battle that needs to be fought. There is a victory that needs to be won. But it's not the army that fights the battle and wins the war. It's this baby that they proclaim. You see, the battle that this baby is going to fight is the battle between sin and death. Remember with me Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that man is Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all because all sinned. There is a battle that is raging around us constantly, the battle of sin and death. And everyone is subject to sin because, or subject to death because everyone has sinned. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 tells us what happens in this moment. It says, but as it is, he has appeared, Jesus, once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This baby Jesus, who's born in a manger, this king who is God, will ultimately sacrifice himself for us to pay for the sins that you and I have committed and ultimately put to death, death by his death. We're going to see this process begin to unfold even more in just a few verses, because for his death, to pay for the sins of our life, he must live a perfect life to die in our place. But what we see in these next couple verses is that there is joy in seeing the word of God come true. Would you agree with that? When you have seen the promises of God come to fruition in your own life, doesn't it bring you a special type of joy? Here is the joy that has been announced to those shepherds. Let's be reminded, the forever king has appeared with his forever army to bring forever peace. And how do they respond? We've got to go see this king. We've got to go see what has been revealed to us. Let's go see what the angels have told us. And in a hurry, they go to see the word of the Lord fulfilled right before their eyes. And once they see this baby, the scriptures tell us they can't be quiet about it. Now, I've had some good things announced to me in my life, and I'm sure you have too. But oftentimes the things that are announced to me aren't as spectacular as this. Like when I've been told about a good restaurant that turns out better than it's described. And even in that minor announcement of good things that's joyful to my belly and my taste buds, once I experience it, I can't help but tell everyone about it. Well, I can't imagine how these shepherds felt that they were announced, giving an announcement, or they were given an announcement of the most amazing experience someone could have in all of human history, namely looking into the face of God, the Son, that this baby right before their eyes is Jesus Christ, the Savior. This text also tells us that Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. You see, what we're reminded of in this particular text is that the birth of baby Jesus is foundational for us as Christians to believe and hold on to the truth that God is a God of great power, and he is a God that keeps his word. When he says he is going to do something, he does it. And I wonder, especially this time of year when everything seems to be so busy, or maybe we're experiencing some difficulty in our lives, that we just don't stop to ponder this truth enough, that we don't stop to ponder the truth that God is a God of great power, and he is a God who keeps his word. Let's stop and ponder that for a moment in this particular text. Just in the birth of baby Jesus, there are so many promises that Jesus is keeping. Remember with me the promise that was given to Adam in Genesis 3:15. Even though the serpent bruises the heel of the lineage of Adam, he will send one who will crush the head of the serpent. For Abraham in Genesis 12:1-3, he says, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. There's a universal blessing that will go all to the world because of this lineage of Abraham. Then in Exodus 6:7-8, with Moses, he tells him, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. You see, this universal blessing given to Abraham starts to expand as now the nation of Israel is set apart as the people of God. And then he promises to David that he's going to give him a king in his lineage that will last forever. In 2 Samuel 7:16, he says, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And brothers and sisters, now in Jesus Christ, God gives his son to fulfill his covenant with Adam, with Abraham, with Moses, with David, and now to draw us into his family. Brothers and sisters, God is powerful enough to do what he has promised, and he will do what he says he is going to do. Let us react to these truths just as the shepherds have done in verse 20. They return home, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. Brothers and sisters, we have much to be thankful for. But there is no greater thing to be thankful for than the fact that God loved sinners like you and me so much that he sent his only begotten son down into the world to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death, so that you and I might be able to live a life that glorifies God and gets to spend eternity with God in heaven forever. We must meditate and ponder these truths often, so that they continue to build and grow in our hearts. One of the things that we talked about in the How to Study the Bible class is when you're studying familiar passages, it's good to look for surprises in the text. It's good to look for things that you may have not noticed before, because all too often we breeze over text that might seem so familiar to us, and we miss some amazing details. And to be honest, for me in this particular passage, I was tempted to do that even in my study. But in verse 21, this is where I found my surprise. Verse 21 says, and at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. What we find here in this particular verse is that one of the first things told to us about the young life of Jesus is his circumcision. Now, why would that be so important that God would have that included in this particular text? Here's why. We are told that his parents keep with Jewish law and take him to the temple to be circumcised. And again, this might seem like a strange detail to be given in the life of our Savior, but remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now think about the power of God in this particular moment. God has worked out all the details that from the very moment of his birth, Jesus would perfectly keep the law. He shows himself to be a Jew under the law so that he could fulfill the law. And in that moment, he truly unites himself to humanity through keeping the law so that he can die in our place for our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says it this way. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friend, our Savior perfectly kept the law from the very moment in which he was born. There is nothing in his life, even from the time that he was a baby, that would indicate that he ever sinned, not even one moment. But this time of the year, the world and everything around us is going to try to distract us from the only thing that can give us true joy. The only thing that can give us true joy is that unto us was born a baby who is our Savior, the forever King who has brought forever peace between us and God. This baby was fully God and fully man, who lived a perfect life, died for our sins, rose again, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. On this, we must focus our minds and hearts to experience the true joy of this season. That the forever King has been announced by his forever army, and he has brought forever peace between us and God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so thankful that today we get to open your word and be reminded of what you have done for us. That your Son was born exactly as you said he would be. That he was born in the exact place you said he would be born. And that your plan is continuing to happen exactly as you have perfectly willed it to be. Lord, we ask that you help us today to have our hearts and minds focused from this day forward, through the rest of the year, through the rest of next year, that every moment would be completely focused on who you are and what you have done for us. And out of this understanding, we would dedicate our entire lives to worshiping you and glorifying you with everything that we do and say, right down to the intention of our hearts. Lord, it's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to lose sight of who you are and what you've done for us. But we ask that today, from this passage that's so familiar to so many of us, that we would be renewed and refreshed in who you are. And that through the rest of Advent season, through the rest of this holiday season, that the thing that would be on our lips, the constant conversation that we would be speaking to any that we come in contact with, is the glory of this good news of great joy, that you have sent us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.